you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I got Dalton Anthony.
Yo!
Ace Gray.
Yes.
And I'm your host, Jesse Kimball. And this is the first Monday night. Hopefully, you guys weren't too lost without us yesterday, and you had patiently waited for the Monday night show. So far, I like doing it on Mondays. So far, seems like a nice choice, because Sunday, I didn't have to do anything.
That was lovely.
That was awesome.
I was off from the store. And I did some homework. Felt good. Wasn't rushed. Found out that I still turned in stuff late, so I had to email a professor. Fortunately, he's going to take it for credit, because it was like 60% of my grade, apparently. Why did people do that? But yeah, no, it was nice. Like, I like this format a lot, of doing it on Monday.
I'm a fan. We did D&D yesterday with Hunter in his new game room. And that was pretty cool. We got to do the Weird West. That was neat. I didn't have to worry about, you know, at any point, like, I didn't have to try to schedule time to write up the show or, you know, rush back here to start recording or anything like that. It was nice. It's nice having my Sunday just free.
And we won't feel rushed at the end of it if it's just like, oh, we got to open up the store.
Right. Like,
yeah, we're closed on Mondays.
Mm-hmm. And we were able to get here early because we're closed on Mondays. So
it's going to be good. We're going to have
the evening after this to do whatever.
We can go get Taco Bell and it not be completely packed afterwards, Asa.
No, I have to go work out.
Oh, never mind. Asa's going to go work out. I'm going to go be fat.
He's going to do the exact opposite.
Literally first time this month.
Yeah.
I've skipped so much.
It's the 8th. That's not that bad.
I saw a Twitch video.
Not bad.
I saw a Twitch video from Stride this weekend, and I'm like, I need to start doing sit-ups again. I'm getting a little chubby.
So anyway, moving past our workout habits, I guess. Onto the actual topic of the show, Stranger Things season 3 hit on July 4th, and I ended up binging the entire season in one day. I didn't mean to. I wanted to spread it out, but I didn't have anything to do Saturday morning, so I just started watching Stranger Things, and then I didn't stop until it was over, and it was great. Have you, Ace? You still haven't even watched season 2, right?
Nope.
Okay, and obviously, yeah, Dalton is anti-Netflix, despite owning a subscription.
I also own a gym membership. We go back a minute and a half. Obviously, I'm an irresponsible spend monster with good spending habits. When it comes to that, I just don't use them. Like Netflix, I can watch what I want.
You know, Stranger Things season 3 is awesome. I don't necessarily think, for the fans out there, it's not as good as season 1. But it's definitely better than season 2. I say that as someone that did enjoy season 2 quite a bit. Stranger Things at this point, though, is becoming one of those shows where, like, there's very little they can do wrong for me. I just really, really like everything about the show.
Mm-hmm.
The aesthetic, the music, the content, like, the idea. Like, it's all just great to me. I sit back and I can enjoy the ride. So maybe my opinion's not exactly what you're looking for, because, yeah.
Or maybe it is. Not, we don't need to be jerks on every review. Like,
it's true. It's just one of those things. Like, basically what I'm getting at is maybe I have trouble being critical of the show.
All right, so what's one thing that you wish they would have done different? Or one thing that, like, you'd be like, this would be better if? Or can you legit not think of one?
For season 3?
Yeah, the one that you just watched.
I can't really think of one. Like, there are certain things that, like, if they would, like, the only things that I would have had them change would have been purely for fan service and wouldn't actually benefit the story in any way. There's a little bit of a cliffhanger at the end of the series that I'm a little bummed happened, but I'm sure it's going to get season 4 because Stranger Things is one of the most popular things on Netflix. So I'm sure I'll get that answer in the next season, but yeah.
And if this gets into spoiler territory, which, because I don't know if it will or not, how is it addressing the fact that, like, these kids are old now? Like, they are just full-on teenagers at this point, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all, like, 16, 17.
But has that age progression happened on the show, or are they still trying to play, like, 13-year-olds?
I would say, like, they all seem kind of like they're trying to play, like, 15-year-olds.
Okay.
Which, they're all young enough looking still,
mm-hmm,
that 15, 16 year old, like, between that age range is still realistic. Minus Finn Wolfhard is almost 6 foot tall now.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. We all have one friend, and and I do too. And I'll call him out in a second. We all have one friend from sophomore to, or freshman to sophomore year that shot up a foot and a half. That would be Derek. Well, yeah. Where it's just like we were at eye level, and then summer happened, and I guess he only ate Miracle-Gro, and like now I have to look up to talk to him.
It, well, I mean, it's actually like extra perfect for the Ninja Sex Party song.
Oh yeah,
yeah, Danny, don't you know?
It's, he's just the cool version of that guy.
Well, Finn, like, it's just perfect because Finn Wolfhard does look like he's walking around like a newborn deer. Because, yeah, he massive growth spurt from season two to now. Yeah. Because it's not like it took them, you know, that long to film it, but...
At least it didn't happen while they were filming. Like, because especially if they film out of order, so, like...
Episode two, he's 6 foot. Episode, like, six,
season he's... finale, he's back down to, like, 5'5". Like, he's the same height as 11.
Oh, that would be funny. But, I mean, they used a lot of... you know, camera angles where he didn't look like he was towering above everybody else. But I mean, he's very clearly taller than everybody else.
Mm-hmm. We cut out 6 inches of the floor so you could stand there.
they had him stand way closer to the camera. They reversed Tom Cruise'd him.
So yeah, it's fine. Like that didn't bug me at all. Mm-hmm. Basically, I very much got the feeling of they didn't address at all like what grade they were in or anything like that. Because okay. I mean, it's summer vacation,
and it's not a thing that like it's not a thing that's gonna like keep me from watching the show or anything. I just remember, okay, so season one, they're like they are straight up like 13 years old, yeah. And then season two happened, and like they still roughly looked kind of the same, at least from what I remember. Because again, I've only seen like the first episode.
Yeah, no, they still look real similar. Two.
But now, like, season three, like, seeing them do interviews and stuff, it's like, oh, no, these are teenagers now. Like, they drove themselves to set, probably.
Yeah.
And you can't have them still be 13. So I just didn't know if they were, like, actually, if they were trying to hide the fact that they're growing, or if that's just become part, like, it's just being incorporated in the story.
It's one of those things, like, they didn't address it one way or the other.
Okay.
Like I said, just
as long as it didn't, like, as long as it wasn't like a oh no, they are clearly trying to play way younger than they're supposed to be.
No, that's not the feeling I got.
Okay.
Other than, like I said, whenever they were filming, at the very least, Finn would have been 16. So yeah, like, and I think that that's the age range they're going for, is like between the 14 to 16 area, mm-hmm. is the way they were playing the characters. Because, you know, they were starting, like, there's like, some relationship drama for, you know, other reasons. Mm-hmm. And, like...
I know that happened in, like, season two for sure started.
Yeah.
Because there was the redhead girl that they were all, like, in love with.
Yes. Max.
Sure.
I think that's her name.
He knows the story.
But anyway, you know, like, that's still obviously a thing in season three. And, yeah, it's... I don't... Yeah, so I guess to answer your question is just that they didn't address it one way or the other.
Okay.
But they definitely did not have them clearly trying to be...
And like I said, like, yeah. I don't care that they don't address it, just as long as they weren't trying to actively avoid the hard truth of what was happening around them.
Yeah, no, they definitely did not do that.
That's cool.
At the very least. So, yeah. No, So in general, though, Stranger Things Season 3, absolutely worth watching. I mean, if you canceled your Netflix subscription, maybe throw it back on there, give that a watch real quick, because it's... worth, you know, if you binge it inside a month, it's definitely worth the $11 that's going to cost you. So yeah, that's the Stranger Things. Spider-Man Far From Home came out on Tuesday.
Woo!
This last week. All three of us have seen that, so I'll have some company here. All right, Dalton, you look the most excited to talk, so what's your nerd up review?
Go watch it now, full price. Pay double if you have to. It's so good.
Asa?
Full price.
And, yeah, that's going to be a resounding full price, though everybody at Spider-Man knew what I was going to say.
It's it's the best Spider-Man 2 we've ever gotten.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, and I loved the Andrew Garfield movies, and that, yeah.
No, I mean, that's actually really high praise, because Raimi's Spider-Man 2
is... Oh, yeah, Spider-Man 2, yeah.
...widely considered...
I think it was someone from Funhouse, maybe, talking about, all right, we closed out the trilogy of Spider-Man 2.
Yeah, because that was Spider-Man 2 is widely considered, like, Raimi's Spider-Man 2 is one of the best Spider-Man features to hit screens. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so that's high praise for Mesa Gray, because I think he was...
No, I mean, the MC, like, I like the Raimi movies more than the Garfield movies. Not even close. Like that.
It's a, still another
it's
league.
It's T-ball in the MLB.
No, fair enough.
Where and then the MCU is like, if the MLB is the MLB before like they let black people start playing. Like and it's then, the, from the 40s.
Yeah.
And now the MCU is like today.
Jackie Robinson's allowed to play now.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Now, like Jackie Robinson stepping up to bat, and it's like, oh no. You mean what? You mean what's possible? I didn't think people were capable of this.
I don't know why that's so funny to me.
I don't either.
It's just a weird comparison.
But no, it's, I mean, you see, you have the evolution of just like, because as, you know, performers go, it's like, you know, we talk about it in pro wrestling all the time.
Yeah.
Like the stuff that is happening now would blow the minds of people at the carnivals, you know, in the 30s and 40s.
Yeah.
Where, and it's the same thing with like, look at, you know, the all-time hit record. Like those records just continuously get broken because people are just getting better and better.
Yeah. Right.
And it's not fair to compare like what the MCU is doing now versus what Raimi was doing
in the early 2000s.
Well, yeah, you can do more now.
But like, I mean, this is the MCU Spider-Man movies have been like, they are 2 for 2 and like, let's see what 3 happens and let's see what influenced Sony. Like, you know, all right, well, no, we have to have Tom Hardy's Venom in here.
Well, I think Sony's really happy that they don't have to do a whole lot of work for these movies. Because it's a lot of just like, they're just like, they're using the MCU skeleton.
Right.
Putting it there. Because it's one of those, like, you see Sony, and I'm just like, that is the best business choice that any movie company's ever made. Because
Sony's literally doing nothing for this. Like, yeah. They're letting Marvel use Spider-Man.
They're leasing.
And they're cashing the check. Mm-hmm. Like, they are doing nothing.
They own the car. They're just letting you drive it.
Because, yeah, obviously Kevin Feige is still the big executive producer of it. Like, he's still deciding what the story is going to be. And that's one of the things that, you know, we talked about it with the previews. That is something that was addressed that I'm really happy about. I'm not going to spoil Endgame at all or Spider-Man at all. But the events of Infinity War and Endgame, I was really worried that that was just going to be in Far From Home, glossed over. None of that happened.
Like, it was a little glossed over. Like, they very much did not answer the question of, because we got the scene, like one of the first scenes in Far From Home, where it explains it's the snap and the blip.
The blip, yeah.
Yeah.
We got a lot of questions coming out of the blip that they totally just are like, that's not what we're going to talk about today. I don't think they're going to talk about it.
I mean, possibly not, because they talked about,
and
like...
And I hope that they do... because they mentioned enough about it, like there was the funny like Aunt May line about like when she blipped, and like, and they kind of, but they like, they touched on it just enough to like that they had to mention it, but again, like, there's I can't say much more because it, like, then it gets spoilery.
We needed video, but, again, for just that moment.
But like, I don't know. I had issues with the movie. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I did not think this was a like perfect MCU movie. I didn't think this was a perfect superhero movie. It had one of my favorite sequences the MCU has ever done. Mm-hmm. And yes, I remember the last 40 minutes of Endgame. Like, this is, for me, this is up there with that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like I said, I think I mentioned on the pre-show, like, the movie didn't really start until like an hour in.
It did seem like it was a pretty good while, like, before you get hit with the quote unquote plot twist.
It was mostly a Peter Parker movie for the first hour, which I'm totally fine with, and I enjoy that, and I enjoy what they did.
Yeah, because they were doing Peter Parker, and they were talking about the blip as explained in the movie. This isn't a big spoiler or anything.
No, that's, we're literally, what they just call, using a term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what they call the period of time between
the,
like,
5 years.
Yeah, the 5 years when everybody was snapped out.
Oh, actually, okay, so Kevin Feige clarified, the snap is when it happened.
Yeah.
The blip is when they came back.
Yeah.
And I thought the blip was just the 5 years.
That's what Kevin Feige said.
Okay.
Like, yeah. That was just the
and that's how I read into it, was the snap happened. And the reason that nobody calls it the snap is because literally nobody knows how it happened.
Yeah.
And then the blip, like, that's why it's referred to as the blip.
Yeah. I just saw the interview on IGN, like, while we were in between the pre-show and now.
Yeah. Which is fair. Like, I imagine that's, at the very least, that's what Kevin Feige wants, like, us as an audience to believe it to be. But yeah, like, whatever it is in the movie, like, that event, them all returning, whether it's the period of time gone or everything else, it was the blip.
Yeah.
The mm-hmm. blip, they came back and they called it the blip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the film. So yeah, that was one of those things. Like a lot of it was addressing the big thing that happens at the end of Endgame. That was a big part of the first part of it. And then yeah, like addressing the blip, how that impacted a lot of the students, how that impacted.
That's almost exclusively all it. How that impacted was just the students and May.
Yeah, because we got a couple of like little stories about like, you know, just kind of funny little like things about people coming back. Like, you know, I came back and I was in an apartment and this guy's wife thought that they were cheating, like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I thought that line was funny.
See, I mean, there's some little stuff like that of just like this is how this impacted like everyday folks. But yeah, most of it was how it impacted the students.
Mm-hmm. Which is fine, and that's the story that you're telling, and that's what you need to focus on. Like, yeah. I absolutely get that. I really hope that they kind of, and I don't think that they're going to, especially with, like, the time jump with Endgame,
mm-hmm.
and they're literally just like, okay, half the world's population is gone, but we're just kind of moving on. Like, everything's still fine for the most part. Like, they really, like, I thought they were going to explore that a lot more than they did. So I kind of think, like, this is what we're getting. Especially because, like, the next, what, three movies that we know we're going to get, one's a prequel, and then Shang-Chi, I don't know, that might not be, like, one of the next three.
Because yeah, we
like,
still don't know what the next movies are,
Shang-Chi
for sure.
Shang-Chi and Eternals. I would put money that it's the Black Widow prequel is the next one.
Or Black Panther 2.
That's coming, and so is, like, Doctor Strange 2.
Yeah, because like, we know, like, what's down the pipeline, but we don't know
what the order is.
Right, because we've gotten our three movies this year, and mm-hmm. that's all that Marvel wants to put out is three movies a year. So we've gotten our three this year. We have no idea what the three movies in 2020 are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
We just know, like, roughly the movies that are coming.
My prediction for what 2020 is going to be is the Black Widow movie, Doctor Strange 2, and a new IP. Either Eternals or Shang-Chi.
I'm thinking we're going to get the Eternals at the end of, like, that'll be our third movie in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That's my guess. Cause I think you're on the money with those, with the first two guesses for sure. But you never know with Marvel. Like
they're going to do what they want.
They're going to do what they want and we're going to pay for it.
I would be happy if it was Spider-Man, you know, 3, just whatever the home version, it's going to have home in it. Yeah. But like
Homecoming again,
Spider-Man can't go home, like something like that. I don't know.
Oh man, it's one of those like I can't think of, and I'm not. It could be a new movie, but it's one of those like I feel like this set, like these two movies, like it's the perfect Spider-Man story they're telling. And even with like the whole, they could have delved way more into the snap and blip stuff. I felt like it was good enough because like they said it was like this is going to be the epilogue to Endgame.
Yeah,
and I'm like. I am fully satisfied with what they gave me.
Oh yeah, no, like yeah. I said, like I fully enjoyed the movie, and as an epilogue to Endgame, 100%.
Yeah,
it's just there are things that we saw in Endgame that like, and then the way they explained it back, I'm just like, ooh, you got some questions there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, like I'm kind of with you in that I wanted the movie to be an extra half hour of just like this is other things.
I don't know if I would need it to be that much longer. Because this was already a 2-hour movie, and it...
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, no, I don't want the movie to be any longer, because mm-hmm. It was over 2 hours. It was like a...
2 hours, 9 minutes.
Something like that.
You already got time.
So, yeah, no, I don't want the movie to be any longer, but, like, for those questions to be answered, I feel like it would have had to have been.
Mm-hmm.
For several questions that I had, anyway, that I would just, like, accept it as, like, okay, they're definitely not going to cover this in this movie, if mm-hmm. it happens at all.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, like, I'm just happy that it was addressed... Because my biggest fear going into this film, like before we got the previews and stuff, was that it was just going to be a, yeah, that happened. Didn't impact any of us at all, like in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, no, like I knew it kind of had to, especially with it's like, okay, so it was his like entire class.
Yeah.
Because it was so many people.
The main players of that class.
Yeah.
Yeah, because at least the people that are important to this movie, because mm-hmm. we've got... well, no, I'm not going to say who, because I guess that's like, a little bit of a spoiler.
If you saw Homecoming, you know who you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Anybody that got a name. Because there were a couple of characters that they did mention that aged. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there were a couple of new additions to their class.
Oh, right. God.
That were little kids, but now, like, it was that 5 years hit. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Now they're just in the class with them.
Mm-hmm. J.B. Smoove low-key stole the show for me in that movie. The other professor. Or the other teacher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So Hannibal was busy? Like,
I forgot he was in that movie. Oh, God.
He was the coach. Person.
Yeah. But like, but he's a war criminal now, so I don't know. We're just going to watch it.
Which, and granted, like, that's a personal thing, because I'm not a huge J.B. Smoove fan, like, in general.
Yeah,
and
but
he didn't add anything. Like, Martin Starr was all you needed. And then J.B. Smoove shows up and just has, like, one or two lines.
That are just pretty great.
That are just kind of there, but it's like, that could have been Hannibal.
Yeah.
It was one of those things, though, like, I would have liked Hannibal to have been a chaperone for that trip, but it wouldn't have made any sense as the PE coach to do, like, the very specifically science.
It's a science school.
I mean, it is, but he's still the gym coach.
He has the most thankless job at that. That's why he didn't go. He was just like, I'm just going to let him play dodgeball.
Like, and granted, maybe it's just because my schools have always been weird, but like, I've never had a dedicated gym coach. They've always taught something else.
Oh, I had coaches. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, no, like in the public
in schools.
in all three of the high schools that I attended, there were dedicated gym coaches that didn't teach anything else.
Now, the ones
unless
that
you count... One gym coach also taught health at Cape Central.
Health was the main one that usually crossed over.
But health was only like one class a day because it was very specific. Like health you took as a junior, I think, in the first semester.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the only time like he had one health class per day, maybe two health classes per day, and it was all just juniors.
Yeah. But like, yeah, no, but like the football coach was very much the social studies teacher. Yeah. Like, that's the one that I'm like, yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I was going to say something, thought, process. Oh, Martin Starr. I've also went back and watched the debate episode. Or not the debate episode. The, community. I forgot which one it was, but the one that he was in that he was the professor, where it was like the world things.
The Model UN?
There it is, yeah. And I was like, oh, anytime he's a teacher, it's gold.
Mm-hmm. Oh, anytime he's on screen, it's gold. He's fantastic in
Silicon Valley. Yeah, he is probably, like, especially as the show went on, he became, like, him and Kumail Nanjiani were definitely, like, the best parts of that show. Because I'm caught up on it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Those two are the only reasons that I keep watching the show.
Yeah.
Because the lead character is obnoxious. TJ Miller is mostly unseen, but not fun to watch when he's on the screen.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, those two, though. Fantastic, always enjoyable.
Did you guys like Vulture or Mysterio more as a villain in these movies?
Ooh.
Yeah, because that was the whole thing. Like, I was like, this, I felt like it was the most perfect Spider-Man movie, but then I thought about Vulture and I'm like, I can't tell you which one I like more. I think I'm still on Vulture's side on like is enjoying
it's,
more.
It's hard to compare the two because they're two wildly different villains.
Yeah,
like they have wildly different motivations, they have wildly different relationships to Peter, like, so like, I don't know. I don't.
Because in my opinion, like Mysterio had better scenes, but Vulture was definitely like the more developed character.
But I also didn't like. I never cared about Vulture even a little bit ever in any version of Spider-Man. Whereas this is like, oh crap! You took a C-level nobody and made him totally awesome. Whereas, in fairness, I understand that Mysterio is also a C-level nobody. And they made him totally awesome. But, like, he was fun. But he was already kind of, like, he was too goofy to not be awesome.
Yeah.
Like, in the comics and, like, any other version.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, Vulture was just an old man who used young kids to, like, steal stuff for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, later retconned to midgets.
Yep.
But, yep. Yeah.
Which one's more offensive?
Definitely the children.
Yeah.
So, like... I don't know. To me, you can't really compare them.
Well, it was one of those. So like, I was going through the movie.
But I liked Vulture's motivations more. But yeah, Jesse, I agree with Jesse in that Mysterio had cooler scenes. And as a like as a bad guy, he was cooler and way more effective.
Yeah.
But also, that wasn't they did not have the same goals.
No.
Yeah.
Vulture was not trying to do like this grand scale type thing. He was literally just trying to like. I'm just trying to steal this stuff to help my family and my guys.
Yeah. Whenever I was talking to Sade, I was like, I love Mysterio in it, but it's that thing where, like, yes, Mysterio definitely had the cooler scenes, but overall, Vulture had the coolest scene at the prom where he just turns around, and I'm like...
That was still just one of the most tense moments in cinema.
And
that,
the reveal was like... And again, we didn't really get something like that with Mysterio to that level.
Yeah.
His reveal scene was awesome, But, like, it wasn't the same.
And I think that's the one where I'm just like, I love Far From Home. I mm-hmm. cannot praise that movie enough, but it's one of those, like, I still think I enjoyed Homecoming more mm-hmm. just because I think I enjoyed Vulture way more as a villain.
Yeah.
But it could just be the more personal story.
Because this is one of those things, like, they're both, like, there's not one that is an objectively better film. Oh, like, yeah. Homecoming was incredible. Far From Home, also incredible. Like, they're just solid
yeah,
movies.
Yeah, it's LeBron James and Kobe Bryant. Which one's better? You can argue either.
But yeah, like I very much think that like yeah, Vulture was just what's
no, I think Homecoming as a whole was better, but Mysterio was so awesome. because again, like I said, like it kind of felt like the movie didn't really like it didn't become a Homecoming did a good job of melding Peter and Spider-Man. They never really felt separate. Whereas, granted, the point of Far From Home a little bit is that dichotomy between Peter wanting to be able to be Peter, but also knowing he has to be Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so that kind of plays a part into it.
Yeah,
but
really balancing that whole high school superhero kid.
That first hour, like, especially for the Spider-Man parts, where it's just like, okay, I know where we're going. Let's just
get there.
This is unnecessary a little bit.
I was hooked, and like I get what you're saying. I was hooked the entire time.
Don't get me wrong; like I entirely enjoyed it. Like at no point during that first hour was like, "Oh man, how long is this gonna go? Like when are we getting?" It wasn't like that. It was just that in the back of my mind, there was just that little bit of an itch.
Yeah.
No, I mean, and that's fair. Like I definitely didn't have that. Like I was. It was just one like of those things. Like I can't really say like a whole lot about how that first hour was impacted without spoiling anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's the really hard part about this review.
Yeah, because it's the thing. Email me at whatwasyoutalkingabout@podzilla1985.com and I'll let you know. Yeah. But we're going to move on past it though. Also real quick, if you didn't see, they did add the two costumes from Far From Home into the Spider-Man PS4 game for free. So you can jump on that bad boy, download those costumes. And start going with that. Like Ace is trying to fight a fly here, and it's not working.
I'm just shooting him. It worked. He is now bothering you.
Yep, that is accurate. It worked. Okay,
let him hit the table one time. I've already killed one during this show. I'll get another.
All right. So speaking of Disney printing money, we got the Mulan trailer.
Looked awesome.
Yeah, I'm for it. There's.
I didn't watch it. It only because like. Am I crazy in thinking that these live action movies are now coming? It feels like we're getting stuff like every other week.
It does feel a little bit like that, yeah.
Well, I think Aladdin just came out. We've got the look at the Lion King. Now we're already getting a Mulan trailer. Like,
well, weren't we?
And then we're getting announcements about Little Mermaid, which, you know, more than that coming up in a second. Yeah, no,
they're like, that was the other big story was they cast Ariel, and then like we got a Maleficent trailer, which granted that was that's a separate thing and like a whole other. That's not a, you know, they're not remaking a.
Right, but it's still, you know, one of the Disney live
action.
So, yeah, you know, looking at this, it's one of those things where you're sitting here thinking, like, boy, I'm, you know, praise Kevin Feige that we're only getting three MCU movies a year.
See, I disagree. Like, let's pep out these MCU movies at this clip. And then we'll do three live action Disney movies a year. Because I don't really, like, I still have not seen a single one of them. When I will probably end up seeing Aladdin, because that's really the only one that's come out so far that I care about, because like I've never been a huge Dumbo or Jungle Book person. Like, I get that they're good. I just...
See, I love Beauty and the Beast.
Disney didn't do Dumbo, did they?
Beauty and the Beast. There was a Dumbo one.
I don't think Disney did that
one. I'm on it. I mean, you guys keep talking.
I could be wrong, but I kind of lump it into the same, like, okay, we're doing a live action of a cartoon movie.
Yeah, classic.
Disney's Dumbo. It's Disney and then Dumbo.
Oh, fair enough. Disney. So yeah, I knew like Disney did Dumbo, mm-hmm. like the original cartoon, but I didn't think. I thought it was one of those things where it fell out into public domain or something.
Something from Disney hit public domain. That's why we're changing our public domain laws every 5 years.
That frozen head is just making new rules.
Well, we've got like I think it was last year for the first time in like 15 years stuff started entering the public domain.
Yeah,
and I didn't know if maybe Dumbo was one of them because I know it's like the original
like
IP.
Snow White
is the only
one that's maybe not the only one. I don't know.
Snow White was in I think public domain when Disney grabbed it.
Yeah,
was it? Okay.
Yeah, like so it's still like anybody can do a Snow White story. It's just that it becomes difficult to market because. Yeah, reasons. Anywho.
But, like, the live-action ones for me, and they have, because, like, when you think about it, they have been pumping them out a lot, but, like, the only ones that I'm going to see are the ones that I actually genuinely care about, because, like, I haven't seen Jungle Books. I never really liked that movie. I was never a big Aladdin person. Like a lot of these movies, I'm only watching because I've seen them in Kingdom Hearts or I know them from Kingdom Hearts. Mm. But like, I'm not going out of my way to watch the movie. Fortunately for me, that I wanted to see Beauty and the Beast, and that was 2 to 3 years ago. And I wanted to see Lion King. So, like, that fatigue of just, like, man, they're doing these a lot really isn't hitting me because I'm not going and watching them.
And I'm not either.
And I'm still just like, man, we are hearing about these all day.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing. Like, if we got Marvel at that clip, like, it would become one of those things where we would start picking and choosing what Marvel movies we're going to see.
I would not.
Because they're just...
If they kept the quality... I'm not saying that they could do this at this clip. And, you know, granted, we have only had, like, what, 3 come out? Aladdin, Dumbo, Jungle Book, and Beauty and the Beast.
Those are the 4 that we've had so far.
And that they and started, the what, was... like 2 years ago, a year ago?
Jungle Book came out like in 2015, I think.
Has it been that long?
I'll check, I'm but yeah, sure. No, because
Beauty, it might have been, I don't know.
Beauty and the Beast was 2017, because okay. That was my first year at my job. But then,
like, after those two started making a whole lot of money, suddenly they started announcing them like crazy.
Right, and maybe that's just what we're getting. Like, they're not actually coming out crazy. It's just all of these... Like, the news is just hitting faster and faster.
2016 was Jungle Book. So we've had 4 in 3 years. That's not horrible.
Yeah, no.
But, yeah, we definitely have here lately, though.
Give me MCU news. Then.
Yeah.
Since they're ramping up, basically.
Yeah, they're making money. They were like, we're going to do the first couple and space them out. And if we're making money, we're going to Disney it, which is fine. Like, that's a fine business practice if that's what you want
to
do.
So back to Mulan, though.
Yeah.
I'm pumped for this movie. I really, really want to see this movie. Mulan is one of my favorites as a kid.
Yeah.
And I mean, as well as they did with Aladdin, like, I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with Mulan. I do wish that we would have gotten to see Mushu in that trailer.
Oh, God.
Because I'm real nervous about, like, because the trailer made it look like it's going to be a pretty serious tone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, they said they're cutting a lot of the musical aspects of it, didn't they?
Yeah. But I mean, they're keeping a few of the... They're keeping a bit of the music, but it's definitely not going to be near as music heavy as the original animated movie was.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit of a bummer because Mulan is, like, as far as Disney soundtracks go, like, that's top tier for me.
Yeah.
Like, some of my favorite Disney songs of all time came out of Mulan.
I bet Mushu's going to look like the little Game of Thrones dragon whenever he popped out of the egg.
That'd be unfortunate. I need Mushu to be goofy.
You really think he's gonna look goofy though?
No, he's not. I don't need him to look goofy. Because even Mushu didn't look goofy. He just looked like a traditional Chinese dragon, just really tiny.
This could be wrong, and I could have misread it. But did I see that he's not gonna be a dragon? He's gonna be a phoenix.
I did not see that, so I have no idea. I will look that up.
Also, they have announced a boatload of Disney movies.
Yeah.
I had no idea about, but the only ones with release dates are Lion King, which is this month, the Maleficent sequel, which is in October of this year, and then Mulan is in March of 2020. But yeah, those are the only ones that have set dates.
Because I think we're going to start seeing minimum 3 per year of these live action remakes.
Yeah, because like what you just kind of said is like when we get excited for Marvel movies where it's like, all right, we have this movie, this movie, this movie, and they're spaced out 4 to 5 months apart.
Well, I mean, in fairness, the last few years, all of the
Marvel
MCU
movies
have been in the first half of the year.
Yeah.
That's
so unfortunate, because yeah, I would like stuff
We then
out.
Have to wait 6 months before we get any more Marvel stuff, or longer, mm-hmm. because, yeah, like, what, in Ant-Man and Wasp was our last one in 20...
Well, Captain Marvel was...
That was the last one in 2018. Captain Marvel was the first one in 2019. That came out March this year. So we've
had Endgame and Spider-Man since.
Yeah, so we had like, because I think Ant-Man and Wasp was what, July last year?
It was July or June because I had a Facebook memory of Steak Night.
Yeah, there you go. And
so I think it was July last year.
And we saw it on Steak Night. So yeah, we had July last year that we didn't get another MCU movie until March of this year, which just... And then we got, you know, March, April, and then July for this year. Mm-hmm. But we're now probably not going to get another one until March of next year.
Yeah, with them not announcing anything, really starting to make me worried. But we have Comic-Con.
I mean, we're definitely
up.
Getting more stuff. We just, yeah, it'll probably be announced at Comic-Con.
I'm sure, like, we've talked about it, but, like, I didn't know that there was going to be a Lady and the Tramp live-action movie.
I did not know that one.
Snow White, Cruella, Pinocchio, The Hunchback of Notre Dame, Prince Charming, Oliver Twist. Like, really?
Yep.
James and the Giant Peach, Tink.
That one's going to be horrifying in live-action.
Peter Pan, The Sword and the Stone. Like, all of these have been, like... Not necessarily officially announced, but they are in, like, there are pre-production work like
being done.
Yeah.
Yeah. James and the Giant Peach was weird in like the 3D like animation they had back in the day.
That movie messed like, with me.
That is going to be horrifying in live action.
I won't watch it again. Horrifying. Like the actual movie.
I loved the book and the movie when I was a kid. Like that was one of like my mom's favorite books to read to us whenever we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie was really cool too. But yeah, no, I cannot like that grasshopper. It's gonna be terrifying in live action.
Don't mess with Pixar.
Right. So yeah. So the Mulan trailer though definitely looks like they're going for a more serious tone, which could be a little bit of a bummer. But the action sequences look like they're gonna be awesome. Like I said, I do want to see Mushu because I love that little dragon.
Yeah.
We didn't see any of the cricket either. Basically, we got to see a few fight scenes and them putting the makeup on her, telling her about the matchmaker. And that's really all we got to see. And then there's some weird article talking about Disney bowing to Chinese nationalism, which I did not get even in the slightest. People, the internet is weird.
Yeah.
News outlets are weird. Mm-hmm. Also, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, the live action Little Mermaid. That's very much in, that's very much in production. And we did get the Ariel casting choice, which is Halle Bailey. I did it, guys.
You did it.
I did it.
Sitting on the edge of my seat during the entire Spider-Man conversation, be like, is he going to say Halle Bailey, right? Because I almost just messed it up, too.
It's easy to do. Halle Bailey, she's in Grown-ish, the TV show. Like, apparently it's some sort of musical act. I don't know if we ever figured out what that was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, either way, she's been cast as Ariel, which I'm fine with. I don't care one way or the other. Like the ethnicity of my live action Disney characters, I'm going to enjoy the movie. The one thing that I do demand is that King Trident is now played by Terry Crews.
See,
of a serious character. Like
I would be happy with Idris Elba.
I would also be fine with Idris Elba. However, I will accept that as the consolation to Terry Crews as King Trident. I need that in my life.
If there's a third choice, I will take The Rock. I had to think of a third one. I'm like, all right, well, those two. And I will take Dwayne Johnson. Yes, that's the third. Yeah. I'm also definitely going to go see Hobbs and Shaw now.
You saw the preview for it?
I did.
You know, I'm going to just shamelessly go and like enjoy the crap out of that movie.
I have two of the movie cups.
It's one for Hobbs, one for Shaw. No, it makes sense.
So obviously, you know, it's she is black, and the internet did not enjoy that. The internet did not enjoy that.
Historically, we know our mermaids are typically, you know, it's biology, Jesse.
They have to be white.
They look more manatee-esque historically.
So why? Because that's what some people are thinking.
There was someone who tweeted something like, I don't care what color my mermaid is, as long as she's luring sailors to their deaths.
My whole thing was just like, because I had to look into her a little bit, because like I saw it and I'm like, I don't even know who that is. And then I heard her singing and I'm like, okay. Because you know what? To Ariel, the only thing I care about is if she can sing.
Because
I'd heard of her because of like that her like that Chloe and Haley or Chloe cross Haley, whatever the it's Chloe X Haley is the name of the group. But like whatever they did, like a national anthem or Star Spangled or America the Beautiful or something at a major event relatively recently, might have been a WrestleMania or like a wrestling thing.
I think I have a feeling that you're right, but go ahead.
I will admit, and I'm not proud of it. I had a very negative, very visceral reaction when I read who was going to be Ariel, because I 100% read Halle Berry.
Yeah.
And was like, you have got to be fucking kidding me. Halle Berry is a 16-year-old mermaid? Like, no. Get out of here. And then I reread it, and I was like, wait a minute. That's not... this makes way more sense. Wait, who is that? Click on the link, read, like, or go through, or like, oh, like, oh, okay. Like,
and then Asa was fine.
And it was cool.
I read it, and I was like, Halle Berry, because I did the same thing, but it was just like, that's a choice. Like, this is very much not.
I did not read it that way because Asa prefaced the whenever he sent it to the big group chat was like, so definitely read this as Halle Berry for a second. Basically, he gave the snippet version of that story in the group chat. I was like, so that is not Halle Berry. That is Halle Bailey.
Yeah.
Substantially younger.
And yeah, WrestleMania 34.
Substantially younger.
Hell, that was the one we were at.
Sure.
No, it was. That was last year's. No. We've seen her. All right, I'm on board.
Maybe that's why you didn't recognize her.
Yeah.
Because you were, you know, where you guys were at, it's pretty far away.
Yeah, I couldn't see her. I was too busy loving.
Closer to the ocean, though.
That's true.
Where do mermaids live?
Right off that.
The ocean. I don't know. No, it's fine. It's fine. Like, I'm very much of the, like, I've kind of chilled on my, like, I don't like it when they, you know, taking established characters and, like, even with, like, the Marvel stuff, like, we kind of talked about on Sunday, like, where it's, you know, Jane Foster was Thor for a while, Sam Wilson is, like, Cap.
Like, yeah, basically
I've chilled out on my, like, because for the longest time, like, yeah, I was just like, no, that's not, but, you know, Steve Rogers is Captain America, come on. But, like, I don't know, I've chilled out on my, how staunchly I held those beliefs, and now still, like, this is cool that, like, a generation of little girls is going to be able to look at a Disney princess and be able to
relate to them
and be able to relate to them in a way that, like, which that was my favorite response that we talked about on Sunday was, is just like, all right, well, if she gets to be Ariel, then
we're going
to
get a white
Tiana,
girl. For...
Tiana has to be played by Emma Stone. And I probably am not getting that right, the name right, from Princess and the Frog.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know what? Yeah, let's trade. Every black Disney princess can be played by a white girl. If every white princess can be played by a black girl.
I love that.
Yeah, no, because it's one of those things. Then, like, you know, somebody out there is going to start doing that mental math, like,
wait a minute.
Oh, hold on.
Trade baskies.
Yeah, back up. That's real good stuff. I'm completely fine with this. I definitely have, like, held the opinion before that, like, instead of, you know, changing existing characters, like, write new and interesting ones, mm-hmm. which, like, I get that argument, and I'm, you know, I don't necessarily, like, disagree with it, but at the same time, like, I'm chill on it. Like, more representation just sounds great to me in whatever form it comes in.
Damn mermaid, guys. Like, I don't care. Like, you've already have my suspension of disbelief enough. I don't care.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things. People are just upset that they're taking a traditionally white character and, you know, changing it.
Because I had a conversation with somebody very close to me, and she was kind of like, well, it's just a weird choice. And I'm like, if they do a movie about George Washington and they cast Idris Elba, yes, you messed up. Like, but that's a real life situation right there. Mm. This is a fictional movie where we have a fish singing a song.
And a crab.
Yes! And mermaids! Like, it goes back to the whole turtles thing whenever me and Shannon got in an argument. And I'm like, I'm sorry that your 10-foot-tall mutant turtles aren't realistic enough for you. Like,
they were very realistic in Michael Bay's.
Yeah, but Uncanny Valley is a thing.
Well, yeah, but like,
that's another discussion.
It's one of those things where it's just like, I don't care. Like, and maybe I'm just too whatever about it. Like some people, and like, well, I mean, if you're there's no way you're still listening to the show if you're like that. But like, if you're just like, well, this Turbo Lib, I'm like, no, I just don't care. Like, if can she sing? And I've heard her sing live, apparently.
Ace's phrasing on it is just about perfect. Like, I'm just kind of chilled out on it. Like, I do not care.
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy that there's representation for.
Yeah, I see,
like,
this as a net positive.
Yeah, net gain. Like,
if you're upset that she's black, go watch the cartoon.
It still exists.
Because that's the thing, is it's just like, okay, like, if you don't want this version of Ariel, good news. You will still be like,
Ariel's
they are
still
not,
white
they
like,
are
in
not.
A cartoon.
In literally every other form of the Little Mermaid pre-2019.
Yeah, you can. They are not rounding up those DVDs and VHSs and mass burning them.
Gonna take my DVDs.
Mm-hmm. It's not gonna be a well, they might remaster it and do that.
First,
but
they come for your guns. Then they come for your Little Mermaid videos.
You can't tell, it's ridiculous if you're upset by it.
Yeah, it's one of those
especially
things.
When, like, you look at some of the things that's going on, like, in real life that are affecting actual humans, like. This is a weird hill to die on.
Yeah. Yeah. Find a different hill. Just let the Little Mermaid be black. It's mm-hmm. fine.
It's cool.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Like, there are other Disney princesses. It's fine.
Like, almost all of them. Yeah.
All but one? Well, I guess now there's like three, but.
Oh, God!
Yeah. White genocide!
They're coming for us. Hard right, Jay.
Oh, hard right, Jay. All right, so moving on from there, we've got... Ooh, we need to finish this part up here. Akira is getting a 4K remaster, as well as a new anime.
Awesome.
So yeah, April 24th, 2020, is going to be the Japanese release of the 4K version. Anime.
That's the one that I got confused, because this is also getting a movie, isn't it?
Yes, this is getting a live-action movie in 2021.
That's what I'm... Okay.
Taika Waititi.
My brain did the same thing it did last time we talked about that release, or that announcement, where I was like, we just got this. But that was Alita, Battle Angel.
This time it is Akira and Akira. Mm-hmm. It's just, the redo, like a 4K remaster of the original, which came out in 88.
Now, is that kind of what they did with Evangelion?
Yes.
That just hit Netflix, like they kind of redid it?
Yeah, Netflix has the HD versions.
Okay.
With, I think, the alternate ending, but I haven't actually looked into what's on Netflix. I just know they just recently added it to it.
It's just, the only reason that stands out to me is because this now seems like one of those, like, for anyone who likes anime, like, who's, like, super into anime, Akira and Evangelion are pretty much the two of just, like, these are the must-see, like, they are on a pedestal.
Yeah.
At least with them, the phrase I keep seeing with Evangelion is, it's great until it's not.
Yeah, they definitely, those two IPs certainly have the most rabid fan bases. Like, okay. They are enthusiastic is probably a better phrase for it.
More friendly.
Like, anybody that I know that's a fan of Evangelion is a fan of Evangelion.
Yeah.
Anyway, not really the point. But they're also going to redo, or they're going to do a new Akira series, though, not a movie. And they're kind of like Full Metal Alchemist brotherhooding it, in that it's going to be based on the manga, which the movie obviously could not be based entirely on the manga because it was a 2-hour film, and there's that, it's real hard to fit that much content into 2 hours. So, yep, that's going to do it for movies and TV. This next portion of our podcast brought to you by our wonderful friends at Villainous Grounds in Perryville, Missouri. Stop by there for all of your comic book needs; they will take good care of you. Walking Dead has ended. With issue 193.
The comic book. It's
actually very important that they have specified the TV show and everything else.
The three spinoffs.
Are all still going.
Two spinoffs.
Is there two spinoffs?
Yeah, it's there's Fear the Walking Dead, and then there's a spin. There's another one that was announced.
Oh, yeah, there's one coming up with Rick.
Yeah. No, those are movies.
There's
movies coming because... anyway, and then there's another one that's more along. It kind of is like Fear the Walking Dead, except without the time jump. Like, it's going to stay, like, right at the beginning.
Okay.
Of everything, apparently.
But it's nuts, the comic books ending.
And it's nuts how it ended, because this is fascinating. There are fake solicitations for issues 194 and 195 that they released. He did not want, like, he wanted people to not know that this was the final issue. And so on Tuesday is when it, like, that news leaked that, oh no, tomorrow's issue is, so, like, comic book stores are getting slammed with calls because now you got these people who aren't pulling it regularly, but, like, a collector's item, I have to have first printing of the last issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so this has been, like, nuts. He, IGN posted the full letter that he included to at the very end of the issue, minus, like, they, IGN took out various parts that were, like, spoilers for that issue. But it's, like, a letter of how he's known for a while that this was it. Like, he's no, like, and this, and he tells the story of how he came to that realization, like, man, he could have gotten to 300. What a nice, beautiful round number. But the more he thought about it, the more he wrote out. No, he said 300.
God.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, like, yeah, 200 sounds right, because issue 193.
Because that's what I also thought. I'm 90% sure he said 300 in the letter. But,
he could have done more issues regardless.
But, yeah, he could have kept it going longer and longer and put it off. But then he's like, no, it's like with a character. When it's I don't want it to end, but the story requires it to end.
Yeah.
He doesn't want it to turn into a filler, like, we talk about with, like, Dragon Ball and all that, where it's just like, okay, there's this thing, but, like, it's not all there, like, mm-hmm. It's not what's great. And he could have done it, and he could have made it great, but so if anything, even if you're not a fan of The Walking Dead, like, that's not a franchise that I particularly care about, but, like, that letter was very, very touching and very, very honest.
I made it to issue 100, and I enjoyed the comic book so much more than I enjoyed the TV show.
I made it through the first compendium. And I don't know what issue that hit, but
it was like 1 through 50, I think.
I read it. Well, it was through the prison. So I think it was longer than that.
I would have to go back and actually look.
It doesn't matter. I made it through that first compendium, and I was good. Maybe it's because I read that much of it in one, like, not in one sitting, but, like, in one stretch. And it was just, like, man, that is a bleak, beat you over the head with sadness story. There ain't no uplifting, like, happy ending. That is a...
This is a story about the zombie apocalypse.
Like, and it's not a good time for anybody. And especially the people you like.
Yeah. Because the comic book obviously ends up quite a bit different than the TV show really fast. Because, I mean, the TV show definitely did a big thing of, like, catering more towards, like, fan desires than the source material. So, yeah, either way, it has ended. If you want to pick up that issue, it's going back for a second round of printing. They have already had to order a second round of printing because everybody's like I said, collector's item. You know, people want that final issue, especially since it came out of nowhere. Also, semi-coincidental timing here. One of Robert Kirkman's most popular creations in the Marvel Universe, Marvel Zombies, has been announced to return in October.
I'm not being a jerk. Isn't that like his only popular offering to Marvel Comics?
Probably.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. That's the only one I can think of.
It's one of those things. He may have had some other runs. I have no idea. I can't think off the top of my head.
Because I have Marvel Zombies, like the first trade.
And yeah, that was Robert Kirkman.
Yeah.
Obviously did that. So yeah, a lot of people are theorizing that Marvel has known about this for a while. They're waiting on this news. They wanted to hit because Kirkman might be coming back to Marvel for Marvel Zombies, which would be dope. But we have literally no information other than Marvel Zombies October. So if you like Marvel Zombies, which honestly you should at the very least check out the first Marvel Zombies book that was written by Kirkman, really solid stuff.
Yeah, that was fun. The spinoff stuff is okay if you like the characters are writing about, but Kirkman really nailed it on the head on his initial
run.
it was
real fun, real good, like just solid stuff. And obviously it's standalone because clearly those characters aren't zombies, so you can just kind of jump in and read it. And then the last little bit of news here we got for Rooster Teeth fans, Ruby and Genlock, both of those Rooster Teeth series are being adapted by DC Comics to a comic book form, cool. Which honestly at this point I might actually check out Ruby because I've heard the story for Ruby is phenomenal. I cannot get past the animation to watch the story because it's just minus the fight scenes, like the like everything outside of the fight scenes when I first started watching it might be better now. I don't know. I'm really sorry if I'm very much upsetting someone. But at the beginning of the series, the in-between fight scenes is virtually unwatchable as you see characters try to grab cups and clip through desks that they're sitting at and all this other like.
Well, I also enjoyed the PS1 era. Counterpoint.
Yeah, well, you know, fair. So yeah, that's happening. We don't have any other information on that, just like, you know, if you're a fan of those franchises, keep a lookout because yeah, I mean, like, that I think that those two properties will do great in the comic book medium. And then the last little thing we'll just hit on briefly, Mad Magazine is officially canceled. I honestly did not know it was still running.
I knew it was still running. How long has it been running for?
In the 70s, I think, is when it started.
I knew it was still running because, like, just a couple, like, a month ago, they got hit with a pretty credible plagiarism accusation.
Ooh.
Yeah. For one of the comics they published.
Ooh.
So, not great. And it's, like, it's one of those things where it's an institution. Like, there wouldn't be a cracked.
Yeah.
If there wasn't Mad. You know, it was kind of the original.
No, yeah. Like, Mad and, like, Mad TV was definitely a big thing back in the day. Like...
Well, big. It happened.
It did happen.
It was big if you knew what it was.
He got reruns on Comedy Central.
And I enjoyed them.
I think if I watched it now, like, I can go and watch old Saturday Night Live and be like, this is funny. But if I watched Mad TV, I'd be like...
Some of it, I guarantee you, would hold up.
Like, yeah. Stewart, I'm pretty sure I would just still get a kick out of.
Just not as much as we would like to think.
Yeah. Probably not. All right, so then this last portion of our podcast brought to you by our friends at Press Start to Join. You can find all of their content, including social media links, at ps2jshow.com. Last Wednesday of every month is History of Gaming. They've got a whole backlog of pretty awesome ones there. They did not do one for June. However, you can find an episode featuring our very own Asa Gray.
Which is almost as good. I maintain that was a really fun episode. Like a lot of his Josh's.
Lot of fun with it.
Huh?
I had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, a lot of like the Josh's guest co-star or guest co-host. Mm-hmm. Those episodes were fun.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I liked those. A lot of good content out there. PS2JShow.com. Give them a check out. So in video games, not a whole lot this week. We did get the next Cuphead DLC, the Delicious Last Course.
Got delayed to 2020, but that's fine. Like, take all the time you need because this thing is going to be magical.
Yeah, because I mean, the first Cuphead got delayed for a real long time, and when it finally hit, it really hit.
Yeah, it did. So I'm fine with it. I will get it, of course, day one when it comes out. I look forward to it just beating the hell out of me over and over again.
I need to buy it for my Switch, still.
The trailer we got, we only got to see like two little screens of new gameplay. Seems to be like ice themed.
Yeah.
At least one of the worlds. I'm super excited. It's clearly going to have the amount of attention and gorgeous art from the base game.
And music just, and just, like everything else. Like, yeah, no. Those guys have clearly done something real special with Cuphead, and they're just keeping to that.
It is a work of art, and now we're just getting more of it. So, like I said, take all the time you need. Don't rush it out because it needs to hit that same standard that the first Cuphead did. Anything less than that will be a huge disappointment.
Yep. And I think they are aware of that, and they are putting that amount of attention into it, which, you know, good on them. It's good stuff. Like, I still need to beat it.
The only complaint that I have with that is it's like, okay, they're still working on DLC, so that means they're not working on a Cuphead 2. But, you know, whatever. I'll take what I can get.
Whatever content's coming this way, like, that's fine.
I'll be happy with.
All right, so we also got, for Assassin's Creed fans out there, so Trevor and Tanner.
And Asa.
I like this one.
Oh, you know, that's right. You did like Odyssey.
I haven't beaten it yet, and I haven't played any of the DLC yet, but it's a great game.
Well, the final DLC, Judgment of Atlantis, is going to be July 16th. We got the title and the release date on it. I don't know enough about Assassin's Creed Odyssey to tell you anything about that.
I believe the second big piece of DLC, because they've been putting out like constant updates and stuff.
Yeah.
And even free stuff. So like you don't have to, like, you get these quests and I'm sure certain items and things like that and locations with the paid DLC. Mm. But you're still getting like a lot of stuff for free just added to the base game. Like I had a bunch of quests that just like popped when that first DLC hit. I was like, oh, that's cool. I'll check those out later probably. Because I do plan on beating it. I just need to beat Horizon Zero Dawn first. Then I'll go back to it probably.
Maybe.
But the second...
Except Marvel Ultimate Alliance will be out.
The second...
Gosh darn right it is. I had to censor myself on that one.
The second thing of DLC, I think, was also Atlantis-based.
Okay.
So, makes sense that they're going to, you know, reuse some of that environment asset, see what they... I'm not familiar enough with it to really speak on it. That would be, like, we'd have to talk to Trevor about that. On like
right, because yeah, he's definitely been one of those kind of guys that's
all in on it.
Every time like a new DLC hits, and he takes like a day off of work, and he's like, or on his first day off from work, he mm-hmm. just yeah really goes into it.
And this is a great, and like I love the way that they're handling this. Like they are putting a lot of time and effort into Odyssey instead of, you know, what we kind of what a lot of Assassin's Creed fans were afraid was going to happen of it's just now a yearly release.
Yep, back to yearly, like, yeah.
Now it's being, it's like, all right, we are taking our time with it. We are making a killer game, and hey, here's just more of it.
Yep, which is that's the perfect DLC model.
Yep.
Like, that's that Borderlands set right there.
Good on you, Ubisoft.
Yep, good job, guys. All right, so then the last little thing I want to talk about here, we got some new Pokemon news. Just some real interesting stuff here. Alcremie. Which just, this thing is a walking dirty joke, and I don't think Nintendo realized it, or anybody at Game Freak somehow did not realize this.
Which one?
Alcremie.
Oh, no. Like, which this one's that one? It's the puddle of whipped cream with the two berries on the side of its head.
Okay.
It's only vaguely penis-shaped.
Vaguely penis-shaped is the best kind of penis
and,
shape.
And it's one of the... It produces... The happier it is, the better cream it produces.
The sweeter the cream.
Because it
actually puts, like, whipped cream.
Like, yeah. And then they talked about the... And I'm bringing this part up now instead of at the end. They talked about one of the new mechanic to it. We already talked about Dynamaxing. Mm. And now we have Gigantamaxing, which is basically a hybrid of the new mechanic Dynamaxing with the last couple of mechanics, the Mega Evolutions.
It's Mega Evolution with extra steps.
Yes.
And apparently, like, only a limited number of them are going to be able to Gigantamax, because that actually does change the way that they look. It changes the appearance, gives them new moves.
Yes.
But they're only, like, so if I catch an Alcremie, that doesn't mean that that one's going to be able to Gigantamax. You have to catch specific ones to be able to do that. And it seems like the going theory, because believe it or not, Reddit had lots of thoughts on all on the Pokemon info dump that we got today.
Yeah.
But it was it's like it comes from the raid battles. So like you have to catch one of the raid battle ones, and that's the one that you can then is the Gigantamax one.
Gotcha.
But yeah, that's the.
So I wanted to bring.
Yeah, I just pulled it up because I remember that Lindsay commented it today. So many pastry chefs strive to have Alcremie as their partner. That's gross. Like,
it produces, like, you keep it happy, it produces the best cream.
Happier the ditto, the sweeter the cream.
All right, Shannon.
So, Gigantamax, and the reason I wanted to bring up this before the rest of the little bit of Pokemon news we got was because it's related to Alcremie. In terms of how gross it is.
I mean, it's already pretty gross.
So it turns into this gigantic wedding cake thing.
Okay.
With Alcremie hanging out at the top of it. And then if you...
Go ahead. No, get through it.
It resists physical damage because the more you beat it, it goes from soft to hard. The cream hardens.
So they just... physical contact. Game Freak hired... an Anthony. Had to really censor that one. But they hired an Anthony, and he did his work.
They hired a Dalton.
They hired a Dalton, yeah. And he was just like, what can I come up with that is dirty, but not dirty?
Yeah.
Because, like, if you gave me, like, 3 days and been like, come up with the most dirty, unintentionally dirty Pokemon you could, it would be so... That's so thinly veiled that's something I would have come up with.
It's so bad. Like, it's so bad.
It's a pile of cream, and then it's going to Gigantamax. I just came up with that. Into a wedding cake. But you can't hit it. It's just going to become hard. Do you get it? Do you get it?
The more you beat it, the harder it gets.
And that's why I can't, like, and Matt Dalton is way better than me, because, like, he had to pitch this not laughing. Because I'd have been like, all right, so it's going to become a wedding cake. Which, like, all right, this is Pokemon. That's not super out of ordinary. Like, we have a pile of trash as a Pokemon now.
We also had an ice cream cone before, yeah, so like, desserts aren't off the table.
Wedding cake's fine. But the phrase, the more you hit it, the harder it becomes, like, had to have gotten said, like, in a better way. Like,
it has an ability, Sweet Veil.
Yeah.
And he's a better
human
than
me. And it resists physical damage because as you hit it, anyway.
You have to. You have to emotionally damage it, become soft.
So the other Pokemon, or showed a picture of your great aunt Sally. The other Pokemon.
Just keep a picture of Yogi Berra in your pocket at all times.
Duraludon and Rolycoly were the other ones we got. Duraludon, I really hope that's not like I hope it evolves into something because it looks kind of goofy, but it's a steel dragon, which sounds cool.
It looks like a bad Power Rangers Zord.
Someone posted it looks a lot like the rock type from Sun Moon or XY. Like the blue and orange one with the stalactites. Yeah. Looks a lot like that. My favorite one, though, was, Mom, can we get Dialga? No, we have Dialga at home. Dialga
oh,
at home.
Oh, Jesus.
Duraludon.
Mm-hmm. And then Rolycoly looks fine. Like, that's probably my favorite of the three that we got today.
It's a chunk of coal with a chunk of coal that has an eye.
I'm sorry.
And then it rolls around on a chunk of coal.
And it's got like a wheel at the bottom of it. And
that,
like,
that's a chunk
so
of
that's
coal.
Like, that looks like
no, a, how's that his favorite whenever we have Alcremie in here?
Alcremie.
Whatever.
That's why she's not going to give you that sweet cream. You disrespect her like that.
Why does it have to be a girl?
I like the way it moves around. Like, I like that it's on a wheel.
When I saw the little video of it, it was kind of funny.
And I'm more excited to see, like, what it evolves into, because I'm assuming this is, like, the Geodude of this generation. We got the Gigantamaxing. We also got the
We got a couple of new fighting gym trainer.
Yeah, it looks like we're getting version specific gyms this time.
Yep.
With Sword getting the fighting gym trainer and
Shield getting the ghost.
Mei is the fighter.
I think it's B. Like
B. Oh yeah, it is yeah, B.
It's
B.
B and then the Crowley, I think, was the or Alistair. Maybe.
It was Alistair.
Yeah. Alistair is the ghost type.
Yeah.
And that's in Shield, right?
Yep.
Yeah. A lot of people are. There was a lot of comments about like, all right, we'll switch into Sword, because I guess people were on Team Shield. But B is as far as cartoon characters go. Let's just say there's already a lot of content on specific subreddits.
B is Bay.
For B. That's the big phrase going around.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Looks better than the man-child,
yes,
ridiculous-looking...
Both of these characters, Alistair and B, look awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I really, really like their character designs.
I mean, B's probably going to be easier to fight, so I'm fine with her being in Sword. But, like, Alistair just looks... I like his design. He's got kind of like a shy guy-looking mask. And
yeah, no, he looks really, really cool. Like, he looks like what you'd expect out of a guy that exclusively messes with ghost Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Super edgelordy, basically. I love it. I'm all over it. But that was the Pokemon news we got today. All right, guys, I think that's gonna do it for us, though. So thank you for tuning in. I've been on a recent campaign. If you guys don't mind,
You're not gonna talk about the MythBusters game trailer that we got on July 4th?
Can you tell us anything about it?
No.
All right. Well, that's
what is this thing? Why did it happen? Go out of your way to go to YouTube and just find MythBusters the game official trailer. If it was released on April 1st, I'd have believed it. Because it's just weird animation of various, like, oh, here's the thing. There's no sign of gameplay. There's no voiceover. It's just a... why? All right,
well, before you punish yourself with this, head on over to iTunes. Because I'm finding out about how this stuff works, these metrics. Head on over to iTunes. If you got an iPhone, just pop it open. Find Podzilla 1985. We're on iTunes.
I've already done this. So.
Yeah.
You're looking at me a lot.
Because I'm saying Apple.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, and I just zero in on you whenever
I talk
about
Josh,
Apple.
Hey, Josh, can you tell Alan to do this for us?
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you've got an iPhone or whatever, if you got iTunes, just pop on there. Find Podzilla 1985. Throw us that 5-star real quick.
Give us the old Asa.
Because the more 5 stars we get, the more reviews we get and stuff like that on this, the more visible our podcast becomes. This is one of those things we don't market at all. We rely purely on word of mouth and stuff showing up places. So, you know, the more you guys talk about our podcast, the more you guys review our podcast, wherever you're listening to us, the more people that, you know, we can get on this, the more stuff we can start doing. So, yeah, just if you could do me that favor, I'd very much appreciate it. It would make me very happy. Then go check out the MythBusters thing and see if you can make sense of it. If you can, email us at iknowwtf@podzilla1985.com and explain it. Because we don't know. We're so clueless on what on earth is happening here. All right, that'll do it for us, guys. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow with Mr. 100 and the 5-Star Man, I believe. Shrug emoji. That's what I'm getting. We'll find out. Hopefully you guys will have a show tomorrow.
It means what the